C1C. Number 1B.
I take up another subject that will fit into this concept of Christian Science as a science. The question is, what is really involved in a science that is Christian Science? And so I just want to run over various aspects that are very familiar to you, but which may be necessary in order to find the bridge over to the new approach. We know that the world was always trying to find out what is reality. And that, if you look back to the last century, to the middle, up to the end of the last century, that the world was thinking that reality consists of matter and material laws. Then came a great break, and somehow a completely new concept was precipitating itself upon last century's mankind, and mankind began to see that there is another reality next to what they considered to be a material universe, namely a mental universe. And the world began to see that the mental must also be investigated. It is that period where Mrs. Eddy also came in and began to see that everything is mental and that everything has a mental cause. But also, quite as a general concept in the world, the awakening was there to see that the mental realm is a very important realm, and found out somehow that mind controls matter. It's a new concept of mind over matter. And we have all that great period where psychology was taking root in the 19th century, in the second part of the 19th century, with all the discoveries of hypnotism round about the middle of the 19th century, then the investigation of the mental through the Nancy School, then through Charcot, which Mrs. Eddy also, which the journal also quoted in the various articles. Then came the great outburst of the classical psychology of Janet, then Freud, Adler, Jung, up today with Frankl and Maslow, then the whole concept of psychosomatic medicine, of paranormal phenomena, and so on. And in that period, really, the question was always analyzed, what is mind? Mind with a small m. And in this period came Mrs. Eddy and began to see right away, very soon after that mental age was awake in America, began to see that one would have to distinguish between mind, small m, and mind, capital M, between the human mind and the divine mind. And so she founded her system on the basis of the divine mind, which knows only ideas of mind, and which is not concerned with the human mind, nor with mortal mind. And so Mrs. Eddy founded something terrific, namely that she led the age out of the mental age into the spiritual age,
so to say, as a forerunner of what is coming perhaps in the next century or the next millennium. The forerunner always comes about 100 times too early in order to prepare the ground. But he began to see that another shift, another paradigm shift is necessary from the mental to that of the divine mind, which is not really mental but spiritual. Which meant that she more or less asked the student to undergo this terrific paradigm shift from thinking with the human mind to the point of going out from the divine mind. And so she began to see that reality is actually of the nature of the divine mind and mind's ideas. And therefore she introduced a completely different system of reference than the general public uses. The general public and the general reading and the general thinking, the general reasoning, the general knowing, the general understanding in the world is based on an old system of reference which says, I use my mind, small m, whereas Mrs. Eddy says, there is one mind that has nothing to do with your human mind, which is the divine mind, and began to introduce a new system of reference. And so I go quickly through the old system of reference and the new system of reference, which most of you know very well, namely that the old system of reference builds on the mortal mind and human mind, the new on the divine mind. The old system of reference bases its trust in matter, the new system of reference bases its trust in spirit. The old system of reference only believes what the five physical senses testify and bases their scientific reasoning on the testimony of the five physical senses, whereas the new system of reference is the science of soul that only believes in the testimony of soul sense, spiritual sense. The old system of reference is based on human theories, human hypotheses, where the human mind formulates theories, whereas the new system of reference bases itself on the divine principle, and principle has its own science, the science of mind, and the system of divine principle in which all ideas are integrated. The old system of reference believes that everything has a beginning and an end. The new system of reference that Mrs. Eddy gave was life, without beginning, without end. The old system of reference believed that error is real, that error must be considered as true, that sickness and a lie is real, whereas the new system of reference said only truth is true, only truth is real, only the wholeness and health of ideas is true. There is no error in truth. And the old system of reference is believing that everything really goes ultimately into nothingness, ends in nothingness, that ultimately everything, be it people, be it animal, be it mountains, that everything finally goes towards a point that says everything is extinct. This is the great law of physics, of the second law of thermodynamics, that the end of the world is absolute nothingness, absolute death. Whereas Mrs. Eddy's system of reference was symbolized by love, namely by complete fulfillment, as a fulfillment of all that is good and worthwhile. Therefore, it goes to the very opposite direction than what the human system of reference thinks the evolution will unfold. So in this way, Mrs. Eddy gave in the textbook a completely different basis from which to go out. I tried not to say from which to reason, because reason somehow is still an ability of the human mind. I tried to find a term which would say and which would indicate a complete change of standpoint, which says our whole consciousness has to have a completely new standpoint, a completely new basis. I must always go out from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and never from any other standpoint, therefore not from the human system of reference. This naturally is a terrific change that must take place in consciousness. It is not something that can be achieved by reasoning from the human mind up to the divine mind. This Mrs. Eddy calls really the condemnation of mortals to till the ground. It is therefore not an improvement of the old system of reference, an effort really to go out from the old system of reference and try to lift it up step by step, but it is a complete change of standpoint that Mrs. Eddy demands and says there is only the divine mind that knows anything, and it only knows its idea. And that mind is spirit and never matter. That mind is soul and does not rely on the sense testimony and does not need its proof from the sense testimony. That mind is principle and therefore has a system of ideas. And that mind is life. That mind does not reason in beginning and end, but only in isness, in the actuality and factuality of truth, and that factuality of truth is always at the point of perfection and fulfillment. This is now her new basis, from which she goes out, and therefore the basis which she now builds in into a scientific system. This brings up another question that we have to consider very clearly, namely the question, how can we really attain this new system of reference, as it is based on something completely different than the human system of reference, which has been over thousands, if not millions of years, the basis of our reasoning? How can we make a definite, complete break with the old way of thinking, with the old way of being conscious about reality, and now suddenly be aware of another reality and being aware only of that other reality, the spiritual reality? This question of how to attain the spiritual has always been a great question in every religion and every philosophy. The method has been varied. In some religions, they try to achieve it through meditation, others through ritual, others through ecstasy, emotion, religious belief, religious dogma, and I don't know what that has been employed and used in order to feel that we are one with the divine and therefore go along with the divine, be aware only of the divine. Therefore, also Mrs. Eddy had to take up this very fundamental question, say, but how on earth can we really be one with that new system of reference? And she gives one answer, and always the same, and she gives that about 200 or 300 times in the textbook of 600 pages, and gives the keynote, understanding. Her keynote is not knowledge. Her keynote is understanding. And therefore, we must see that we investigate that term understanding and ask ourselves what is involved in understanding. Just to say we must understand God and things like that is very simple, but it doesn't really amount to anything if you don't know what understanding means, especially because we make the mistake of equating understanding with knowing. Knowing is not understanding. That we have seen. We have seen that if I know that 6 times 6 is 36, that does not mean that I understand it. And so it is especially with spiritual facts. If I know spiritual facts, it doesn't mean that I understand them. And consequently, we must see that that understanding is a quality of spirit and not a quality of knowing. Mrs. Eddy says, spirit imparts the understanding, and then goes on. You see, spirit imparts the understanding. It is not our knowing facts that really imparts understanding. We can know thousands of facts about divinity and don't understand the slightest what being is. Not in the slightest. It must be from that new system of reference that we can reason, that we can be aware, and therefore Mrs. Eddy shows that that quality of understanding is given by spirit, and therefore we must investigate what does Mrs. Eddy mean by the term spirit. In the chapter Genesis, where we usually find those great statements about the seven synonymous terms, when she uses them for scientific investigation, she makes the following statement, which is leading for other further discussion. She says that spirit duly diversifies, classifies, and individualizes everything, all ideas. She brings in here three modes of how understanding brings to us really the insight into reality. Those three modes of that spirit: diversifies, second, classifies, third, individualizes all ideas. So, what does that mean? And I just go quickly over these three modes of understanding and start with spirit diversifies. Diversifies actually is the same as differentiates. And we know that in every science, in every theory of science, we'll hear that the more we can differentiate within a subject, within a given subject, The more we can differentiate the identities within the subject, the more we can understand this subject, the more that subject becomes transparent. If I have a subject like chemistry and know there are chemical inorganic and organic chemicals, and I can't classify them, I never can build up a science of chemistry. Only when I begin to diversify what appears as organic and inorganic chemicals and begin to see the diversification or differentiation between the elements, the chemical elements, I can then afterwards build up a system. Therefore, in every science, the more I can differentiate, the more I can understand, the more transparent the subject becomes. Therefore, a subject that at the beginning of a science seems to be chaotic, that seems to be disordered, that seems just to be an amorphous whole, the more I can start analyzing the constituents of that whole subject and therefore differentiate the constituents of that subject, the more I can understand that subject. Therefore, we can see that, I come back afterwards to that point in Christian Science, we can see the more we can differentiate, the more I understand, the more I understand, the more I can demonstrate the subject and prove the subject, and the more I demonstrate that subject, the more I experience that subject. Therefore, the very fact of seeing that spirit differentiates or diversifies is not an academic undertaking. It's something that touches my very being. It touches the very fact, is my being harmonious or not? Everything that starts with understanding is the basis for demonstration, and demonstration is the basis for my being. So we cannot separate that, and therefore we see quite at the beginning, really, that any effort we make in the direction of understanding is always an effort that we make in the direction of a better being, for better life. And it shows that it is not just an academic question. But the point naturally now is what did Mrs. Eddy mean when she said that spirit diversifies? How does Mrs. Eddy present that diversification? How does she diversify? Because her one and all subject is the Infinite One. And that Infinite One seems to be a terrific, big, amorphous whole if we cannot differentiate. And therefore, religion that is not science always only has an awe before an enormous whole and the Infinite One and the Infinite, the All in All, without really knowing what it is. Only then, when a science comes in and says, now, I apply the method of science, of differentiation, I can see that the Infinite One is a one, but Mrs. Eddy says, if I use the prism of science, then that Infinite One is diversified into seven synonymous terms, and I have already a differentiation of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Then she goes on and we could see that we can also differentiate further because we can see mind is just one concept, but we can see that mind is actually the super symbol of all the ideas of mind, and we begin to differentiate mind and can see it as those many ideas of mind which characterize mind, then the ideas characterizing spirit, the ideas characterizing soul, principle, life, truth and love, and we get the further and further differentiation and therefore always closer insight into reality. That means that if we apply the method of analysis of the Infinite One, as Mrs. Eddy has done, she didn't just talk about God as other religions do. They always talk about God, about or define God always as a summary term, like the Infinite, like the One, the Great I Am, which has no differentiation within itself. She was the very first one in the whole of history that took the term God and analyzed it and differentiated its nature so that by bringing out the differentiation, she didn't take away anything from the whole and yet made it more specific. Then she used those terms very specifically through the ideas, and in this way we have a terrifically expanding and always more expanding differentiation without deviating from the nature of being. And that naturally not only applies to analyzing God through the seven synonymous terms as the nature of God, it also applies to the four way, how God operates through the four sides of the Holy City as Word, Christ, Christianity and science. That's a further differentiation and shows the operative sense of God. And later on she goes and shows a further category, the category of the levels of science, science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, Christian science, and we have a further differentiation. And all that is from the point of view of spirit. She never deviated from the spirit, she never reasoned from the human system of reference, she always went out from the Infinite One.